Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to the RotoWire Sports Gambling Podcast, sponsored, as always, by the best sportsbook in the land, BetMGM. As always, use that promo code BETROTO, BETROTO, over at BetMGM.com or on the BetMGM app. If you sign up with BetMGM using that bonus code BETROTO, you can receive up to $1,000 in bonus bets. Make sure you do that. I mean, John, this is the best time of the year to be betting, right? We had a sportsbook manager from Circa join us on the XM show last night. It was really fun chatting with him, Jeff Benson, kind of getting some behind the curtain looks at, you know, everything that goes into odds making. And I mean, he confirmed what we already know, that this is by far the biggest weekend of the year for sports betting and you know, really for both sides, for bettors and for those who take the bets. He said the only thing that really compares is the first weekend of March Madness, because you get kind of 4 days worth of betting. But he said the Super Bowl kind of blows everything out of the water, which to me, not surprising.
It makes sense. It's getting me to yet again drive on up to Tennessee, where sports betting is legal. I'm going to do that on Saturday and get everything locked in as far as my betting interests go for the coming week. If anything comes across, I'll have to just make a mad dash back up there. But yes, I'll be in Chattanooga this weekend. It's a fun little, you know, this will be the second year, so cementing it as a tradition, a new tradition, really. But I'm excited. That's always a fun little foray. Plop down in a coffee shop somewhere, and they just think I'm on my phone. But no, I'm in the lab, absolutely cooking up,
making money.
That's right. Yeah, they it's like that meme of the guy standing in the corner. Like they don't know that I'm putting in several winning bets and even more losing bets.
Yeah, they don't know that I'm putting $2,000 on the Jaguars to win the 2024 Super Bowl at 15-1, by the way. Oh, no, excuse me. I'm looking at the wrong odds. That's for DeAndre Hopkins. They're 30-1 to win the Super Bowl. We will get into that. We're, of course, going to talk about the Super Bowl that is a little over a week away. But, you know, we still do have some time. So we're going to treat this episode as our initial pass at, you know, the spread, the total, a bunch of props. I mean, it's almost overwhelming how many props you could bet on over at BetMGM, and that number will only increase as we get closer to Super Bowl Sunday. But we'll be back with another episode next week. We'll kind of treat that as our final bets of the week. That's when we'll give out our locks. We'll try to build some same game parlays as well. We know everybody loves those. Try to find a way to manufacture a teaser. Might have to rope in the Senior Bowl, tease some of the scores in that game down, but we'll find a way. And then we're also going to be doing a betting contest with some of our affiliates over at Bookies. We'll be doing that next Thursday. So that'll be released in podcast form. It'll be available in video form as well. But essentially, John, you and I are teaming up, and we're going to be given 1,000, what I'm told, fictional dollars. Hopefully we can, you know, maybe get in Peter Shankey's ear and make that real money. We're going to have a contest to see, you know, we'll divide it up. I think we'll probably do maybe somewhere between 7 and 10 bets per side. And whoever does better will be crowned the champion.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Those guys are a lot of fun. Did some stuff with them March Madness last year, so I'm sure that they are sharpening their axes for this, you know, proverbial cage match that we'll have going on on podcast form next week. But yeah, it's a fun like exercise. There's another thing that I've done in the past with the RT Sports guys, where they just give you a fictional budget and you just run wild with the board. We do that over the summer for like all NFL and college. I believe I locked in Georgia to with my like first pick in that one last year. So it went well. This one, obviously, things will be a little bit tightened up. It's less futures oriented. It's all in the Super Bowl. But yeah, there is no shortage of things to pick from as it comes to the Super Bowl. So I'm really excited. And I'll be really, really trying to dial in, try to work my sources, see what color that Gatorade is.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll get more into our strategy on that next week. You know, we got a conference, we got to huddle up, get in the lab Monday through Wednesday next week and really kind of settle in on where we want to allocate that money. But I was going to pitch you right now. What if we just put it all on tails for the coin toss? Double up right away.
I mean, that would be electric. That would make me very like fictionally, but also really like actually stressed out about the coin toss, like right off the jump, like all day Sunday, girlfriend's all like worried about me. I'm like looking out the window wistfully as if I'm about to go to war or something, and
like doing some mock coin tosses.
It's like, how do they weight that? Is it a different coin than a quarter? What you know, what are we looking at here? How much etching is on the tail side versus the head side, and is that going to influence the flight?
Yeah, it would not really make for a great podcast, I'll tell you that. If we just show up and we say, yep, we're putting all $1,000 on tails, that's it. The podcast would be like 10 minutes long. Are you a heads or a tails guy in general, by the way? We need to establish this, I think, before we go forward.
I am a tails guy. You know, for better or for worse, tails never fails, even though it occasionally does. But, you know, I'm not paying attention to that. I'm focusing on the positives here. And I would say that just, yeah, tails is the way to go. You look at the odds over on BetMGM, you know, minus 105 on either side. I'll take tails up to minus 125. I'll take the juice.
Yeah, get the alternate spread on the coin toss. I love that. I'm a tails guy as well. I'm a hardcore tails guy. I don't think I've ever called heads in my entire life when I've ever been involved in a coin toss, you know, going all the way back to like fifth grade football. I was raised in a tails household. You know, my dad was a tails guy. My grandpa was a tails guy. His dad was a tails guy. So it's kind of in my blood to call tails. So yeah, we'll see if we get any market movement on the coin toss. But you know, one other piece of news, by the way, I know you're going out of state to get to some legal betting. Legal sports betting is coming to Milwaukee very soon, and potentially as soon as next week. The local Pottawatomie Casino is opening up a sports book, and that's not coming until like November. But they're opening up a bunch of kiosks and you could bet on site at the book, which is like 9 minutes from my house. So very excited for that.
Oh, that's yeah. First of all, I love that casino. I've had some good times at that Milwaukee Pato. So yeah, the fact that they're getting the kiosks going, I love a good betting kiosk. You know, it's like in Vegas when we were there over the summer, just like hop out of the pool, throw some bets down on the home run derby and put them away safely. And then, you're off to the races. I love that.
Exactly. I'm pumped for it. I'm hoping we can, you know, kind of weasel our way in there and, you know, maybe get some sort of deal going with them. But they're converting a 500 seat theater into a sports book. So I think it's going to be pretty legit. I'm excited for it, but we will, we'll probably have to address that. Maybe I'll do a live episode next year of the NFL betting pod from that sports book once it's open. But anyway, you're here for Super Bowl talk. We're going to give you Super Bowl talk, and the line has held pretty steadily. John, it's been, you know, it was kind of all over the place in the first half hour. We talked to Jeff Benson about that, and he said it was just insane for that first 30 minutes when they opened up. It was just yo-yoing back and forth, but really for the most part, it settled at 1.5 pretty much across the board. That's what we're seeing at BetMGM. Money line, obviously, juice towards the Eagles, minus 125 there, Chiefs plus 105. Total has settled at 49.5 at BetMGM. What are your initial leans at this stage?
So I'm about to hit you with some groundbreaking analysis that certainly neither you nor any of our listeners have heard this entire week, which is, on one hand, you could say that the Eagles have the better team, the better roster. And you could also say that the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, and that might be more than enough for the Chiefs to get it done. And you know what? I got to eat crow a little bit. I think that the Eagles, obviously, last week's game went so sideways for the 49ers, it's hard to like extrapolate a ton, but the Eagles absolutely took care of business in that one. Super impressed by their pass rush, their front seven in particular. The offensive line also just kind of dominated as well. And I feel like, you know, the success that the Chiefs had as far as generating pressure last week, I don't really feel like they'll be able to get after it the same exact way against this Eagles front. So, you know, Jalen Hurts still gives me a little bit of pause, but I think the rest of that Eagles team is just so strong top to bottom that it's going to be hard for me to go away from them. And you know, again, with the spread being what it is, with them just needing to win by 2 points, I think that's well within grasp. So, you know, kind of going against my gut that I've been rolling with for a while, like as it comes to the Eagles, I am on Philly. Said birds.
I'm on Philly as well. I am. And it's ironic because, you know, as you recall last week, the big part of the case that I laid out for you for why the Eagles would beat the 49ers, it was not because Brock Purdy would get hurt and Josh Johnson would come in as like the most unprepared backup quarterback of all time. Looked like he just had no plans at any point to play football that day. It was because I thought, you know, the 49ers and the Eagles were very even teams when you line up the rosters. But I thought the one spot where Philly had the decided advantage was at quarterback. And obviously the game played out in such a unique way that I don't feel like there's a ton of takeaways. And it's not like Jalen Hurts dominated that game by any means. I mean, 2 weeks in a row, the Eagles ran the ball exactly 44 times, which speaks to, you know, the game script against the Giants. And then obviously how things devolved last week. But it's interesting because I can no longer fall back on that argument. You know, I can't say like I'm siding with the team that has Jalen Hurts, because now you could say like I like the Eagles roster better, but the one position where they don't have the advantage is quarterback.
Right, exactly. So that it's going to be something where I could see myself waffling by this time next week. But again, I will go with the Eagles. Like you said, that they definitely don't have the edge at quarterback here. And Mahomes with a couple weeks to get that ankle close to 100%. That's huge. But, you know, and again, injury reports only mean so much at this stage when we still have like 10 days almost to go. But that's a really banged up group of receivers that the Chiefs have. And so, you know, that the Eagles are going to be able to kind of dedicate so many resources to at least slowing down Travis Kelce. I don't think that they can stop him. I don't think anyone can. But, you know, if the Chiefs are like overly reliant on guys that aren't overly experienced at the receiver position, I think that, you know, that could end up being a bit of a problem for them over the course of this game, and something that, you know, it cuts a couple promising drives short, that type of thing. So I think in a sense, you know, the Chiefs run game becomes like all the more important in this one. Pacheco looked great. He's looked great this postseason really in general, but definitely interested to see how he's going to be able to perform against the aforementioned front seven of the Eagles that has been just completely nails this entire season.
It's funny. It felt like Pacheco had this massive game last week, and he did overall, but a lot of the big plays came through the air, which has not really been a huge part of his game this year. He hasn't been catching a ton of passes. They use him in more of a traditional running back role, but I mean, he had fewer than 30 rushing yards last week because, you know, some of those short passes where he's breaking tackles and, you know, running 15 yards down the field, you know, those were coming on dump offs or swing passes. So it's going to get a little murky, I think, when you start to dig into you know, some of the, like the props for Pacheco. I feel like there could be a Miles Sanders regression coming as well. I think you see the two touchdowns last week and everybody's going to want to jump on that. So I think that's going to be really interesting to monitor as well. Total, I mentioned sitting at 49.5. Do you have a lean there? I'm kind of feeling the over.
I would love to see the over, but my sense is the under. The trends in recent Super Bowls, you know, it's been what, five straight Super Bowls with an under? No, I'm sorry, four straight. The last one that went over was the Philly versus New England game, the Nick Foles game, as it were. But yeah, the unders hit in each of these. You know, 49.5 is a pretty large number. I mean, that's right at what last year's number was. We've seen it in the 50s each of these last couple of years. So that probably informs a little bit more as to why the under has been hitting so regularly. But I just feel like the defense of the Eagles is going to be able to slow this Chiefs offense enough. And I feel like the Eagles offense isn't going to be able to get everything that they want like they did last week against, you know, what ended up being a very tired 49ers defense. So I do believe that the under is the direction that I'm going to lean there. But I, you know, again, you look at these two offenses, how explosive they can be, and I think an over is completely possible. I'm going to feel queasy about the under the entire game.
So my case for the over here is, you know, these teams were 1-2 in the NFL in explosive pass plays during the regular season. So we're talking passes of at least 25 yards. And obviously, if the Chiefs have still a banged up receiving core a week from now, maybe we feel a little bit differently about that. But both of these teams can be quick strike offenses. The Eagles were also top five in explosive run plays. You know, both these teams could score quickly, and they're both really aggressive, right? I mean, we talked last week about, like, I love the Robbie Gould over 1.5 field goals. And, you know, obviously that went up in smoke once the 49ers lost all their quarterbacks. But, you know, the 49ers are much different than Philly and much different from the Chiefs in that they're not a great red zone team. They tend to be conservative. They're okay, you know, punting in kind of these weird advantage spots, and they'll take the points. Whereas we're looking at two teams that are not scared to go for it on fourth down, that are not scared to take chances down the field. We saw it on the first possession of the game last week for the Philadelphia Eagles. So I don't think we have coaches here that are going to try to ease into this game at all. Like, Sirianni is pedal to the metal right away, and I think Andy Reid is going to end up doing the same. So, you know, they're both really good on third downs. They're both really good on fourth downs. They're top four in yards per drive. They're top four in score percentage. I will say, though, John, 74% of the money, when I looked this up yesterday night, was on the under. So, you know, people are tailing you on that one.
Well, if anything, that should make you feel better. I'm that donkeyed up on my side for that one. So yeah, I think, you know, those metrics are you know, very strong, and you know, we have a season's worth of data to play with there. This isn't like, you know, looking at those metrics in week three or anything like that. You know, this is end of the season type of stuff. And yeah, I mean, those bear out. Those are two offenses that generate those huge plays all the time, you know, best in the league at it. So we could absolutely see that. I'm just betting maybe just a little bit more on the defenses showing up in this case and limiting those bigger plays.
I want to ask you about this Kansas City team in general. This is now their third Super Bowl berth in 6 years. Mahomes is the undisputed best quarterback in the league. I'm not even going to entertain any discussions. At the same time, I don't really feel like this Chiefs team has like the same air of invincibility that it did a couple of years ago. Like that first Super Bowl run, you know, obviously when they went in and won it, you just thought like, man, this team is unbeatable. Like, they have the best quarterback, they have the best skill guys, they have the best coach. Obviously they were good enough to get there this season, but it was not a dominant regular season by any means. I think for a while they really felt the loss of Tyreek Hill. And of course they get a ton of credit for navigating through a super, super difficult AFC to get here. But I don't feel the same way about this team as I did in the past. Like, I don't view them as like a, you know, like the 73 win Warriors or anything. So, you know, there are a lot of people that want to question the Eagles' path to getting here. And, you know, their path was easy. They had the easiest schedule in the regular season. Obviously they didn't set their own schedule. This is not college football. You know, you get the Giants in the divisional. That turned out to be a much easier game than we expected. And then you get this just ridiculously banged up 49ers team in the title game. But I don't see this as a situation where the Eagles are now walking in, you know, facing this like Goliath like opponent. Am I underrating the Chiefs?
I don't really think so, but at the same time, is there like the human element where, you know, we're not like bored of the Chiefs, but you know, they've set their own bar so high as far as like what we expect from them that even if they didn't match it completely this year, that still doesn't mean that they're not an excellent, excellent team. Obviously they're in the Super Bowl and everything, and they had to navigate a much trickier road to this point than the Eagles have, you know, both in the regular season. They played the Bills, they played the Chiefs, lost to both of them, interestingly, in the regular season. But yeah, there isn't like quite the same amount of wow factor, but I think you could also, you know, on the other side, counter with just the experience factor that they have in this spot that relative to the Eagles. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that, yeah, it's definitely not as appointment viewing, or they haven't been as appointment viewing as maybe in their earlier iterations, 2018, 2019, 2020. But they are still, you know, a force to be reckoned with. And like you said, the numbers still suggest that they are about as good, if not better, than they were in those years. It just may not be coming in quite the same fashion.
All right, let's look at some of the kind of more basic props that a lot of people are going to be digging into. And again, next week, you know, we'll really go deep on a lot of these. But Jalen Hurts passing yards, 246.5. Mahomes up at 290.5. I think, you know, Mahomes, we could kind of debate that one. It's going to be really tough either way. It's minus 15 to the over and the under. Hurts minus 110 to the over, minus 120 to the under. And I think a lot of people are going to look at Hurts' recent game log and say, okay, this is like 100 yards higher than he had each of the last 2 weeks. But like, how are you kind of reckoning with trying to game out how the Eagles script this game versus what we've seen the last couple of weeks and even the end of the regular season? Like, I feel like we don't have a representative sample of like the Eagles playing a normal game since like 6 weeks ago.
Right, because you know you also have to factor in, like you said, that you know Hurts was injured towards the end of the year, comes back for that last game of the regular season. Then these last couple of games, he just simply hasn't had to really do a whole lot against either the Giants or the Niners. But you know, but before he got injured, he turned in a couple of 300 yard performances. I think that you know that this will be a one hand washes the other type of thing, where if the Chiefs are able to generate some momentum, I think that the Eagles are going to have to, are going to be inclined, to try to punch back, through the air. And, you know, in some cases, like they won't be able to comfortably like sit back and dial up all these runs. Like you mentioned, 44 rush attempts each of these last couple of games. So I think that they're going to get maybe a little bit off their spot and off their norm there. So, yeah, I mean, we're looking at 21.5 completions also for Hurts, in addition to that yardage prop. So I think that there is room for, you know, a way to, I'm not sure if you can build the parlay exactly, but I think an over on both the completions and the attempts for Hurts makes sense, just because I think that the Chiefs are going to be pushing it on the other side.
Yeah. Or even linking, you know, the yards and the attempts, I felt the exact same way. You know, I think it comes down to, you know, hopefully we'll get some more information on this, and obviously the Eagles are going to be cagey about it, but I think the fact that these last two games didn't play out in close fashion at all is the Eagles had the benefit of not having to extend Jalen Hurts at all with that shoulder. And I don't see that being the case again. Like, chances are they're really going to have to push it in this game. So like, are you worried at all about the shoulder? Like, is it one of those things where we're going to find out after the season that, you know, it's much more severe and, you know, he's going to need either like months of rest for it to get back to normal or some sort of minor procedure? Like, I don't know if I'm of the school of belief that, you know, the 2 weeks between the NFC title game and the Super Bowl is going to be enough for Hurts to get back to full strength. And again, I think this is going to be a close enough game against a really good opponent that the Eagles aren't going to be able to get away with playing Hurts conservatively at all.
Right. They are going to have to let him rip. So for, I think he's tough enough to where like you said, like we're just not really going to know the extent of this injury until afterward. It'll be kind of like the famous, you know, NHL stuff where after the Stanley Cup, it comes out that like this guy has been playing on like a torn meniscus for 3 months and logging like 30 minutes of ice time a night type of deal. But I think that, you know, bottom line here, Hurts is a big game player and he's going to be unleashed at full strength as the Super Bowl. You know, like I don't think that there's going to be any sort of limitations on him. I think he's going full bore. So even though it may be a small factor here, I think that Hurts is going to do everything in his power to make it a non-story.
So there's a whole bunch of promoted parlays. Obviously, they're all same game parlays. We're dealing with one game here. Over at BetMGM, you could get Jalen Hurts to score anytime, Travis Kelce to score anytime, and the over 50.5 at plus 380. I kind of like that. I mean, obviously, you're relying on a rushing touchdown from Jalen Hurts, so that gets a little bit dicey, but I don't really mind that one. How are we feeling about Pacheco and Miles Sanders in this game? And when you start to dive into their player props, you know, you could get Miles Sanders at 57.5. That's the over under, juiced a little bit to the over. Pacheco 49.5 for rushing yards.
So I think that I'm probably taking the under on both. I think I'd be more comfortable when it comes to Sanders just betting on the anytime touchdown. It seems like the Eagles really have that figure. I mean, like, there was no one in the same zip code as him. They were across the Schuylkill River while he was crossing into the end zone last weekend. Nobody around him. So
And not to cut you off, but I am going to cut you off. Those were early in the game, right? Like, this is when it still felt like somewhat of a competitive portion of that game. So I think those touchdowns are meaningful, right? I mean, it's not like San Francisco, I wouldn't say they gave up, but I think they accepted their fate in the second half. Whereas, correct me if I'm wrong, like both of those Sanders touchdowns were early in the game.
Yeah, they were. And like you said, the game was still in the balance for those. And those were, you know, beautifully blocked. And I mean, I think I would argue that the 49ers defensive line front seven in its total is probably better than the Chiefs. And yet the Eagles were able to blow them off the ball. So I really do believe that Sanders, when they get into the red area, he's the top option. Also, you have to factor in, like we were just talking about with Hurts, maybe they don't want to expose him to hits down near the goal line. So Sanders would be your Huckleberry in those instances. So I like Sanders for any time touchdown, but yardage, I'm a little bit more skeptical just because they do rotate so much, but he is the clear guy in the red zone. So therefore touchdown is where I'm leaning for Sanders.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And again, it's ultimately going to come down to, like, do you believe that they can get away with being conservative with Hurts? I just don't think they can. Like, I think if you're in the Super Bowl, like obviously if he's in like significant pain, you're not going to, you know, put him in a position where he's going to get more injured. But I don't think Philly is going to have the benefit of being able to kind of feel it out and see if they need Jalen Hurts to be Jalen Hurts. It's like, you're playing the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, man. Like all bets are off for lack of a better term. But any other props really stand out to you? Otherwise we could talk, you know, Super Bowl MVP, some dark horses for that.
Well, you know, at the same time, when it comes to the Hurts thing, like it, whether or not they want to be conservative with Hurts's rushing, you know, I think it does matter for Philadelphia. Like it is a 80% Jalen Hurts better in the red zone than a Miles Sanders right now. And I would lean with Sanders. So that's just kind of where I end up coming down with it. As far as like anytime touchdowns are concerned, I'm probably off of someone like a Jerick McKinnon. In this one, I think that he would need to catch one in order to score. And obviously he did that, you know, plenty, especially late in the season. I'd be pretty interested in another MVS touchdown if he's like kind of the last man standing as far as the wide receivers go. Plus 290, I think that's an interesting way of going about it. Just stray comment, but that throw from Mahomes to Valdes-Scantling for that touchdown was, I mean, he had to like catch it out of self-defense. Like it was just such a freaking seed. That was unreal. But those are kind of where I'm thinking as far as anytime touchdown, but it wouldn't surprise me if something goofy, if the Chiefs were able to dial up something goofy to, you know, like the Belldozer or Noah Gray or Jody Fortson. So I'll probably package up a couple of bucks on each of those just in the event that one of them scores, because we know that the Chiefs can get really, really creative down in the red zone. And those are three guys that I think would be candidates to punch it in. So Noah Gray plus 700, Blake Bell 11-1, Jody Fortson 9-1, probably a little bit more inclined on Gray and Fortson, but you know, can't fully count out the Belldozer.
You know, one bet I kind of like is Philly to be leading after the first quarter. You can get that at plus money, plus 125. And it feels like Philly scores on his first drive every game. They've been one of the best teams in the league all year at, you know, especially if they get the ball first, just going down and setting the tone. We saw it last week, of course. They were aggressive going for it on fourth down. Shouldn't have, of course, gotten that fourth down, but it is what it is. And they ended up scoring a touchdown. I mean, I'd like Philly to win the game, and you know, you can get there a number of ways, but getting that at plus money, I think there's some value there. I mean, they were fourth in the league in terms of average first quarter scoring this season. Chiefs were not far behind, so it's not like we're looking at a massive gap there. But I do think Philly comes out aggressively. I think they'll have a really nice script to begin the game. They always do. So even if you're on the Chiefs to win the game or you're still deciding, I would look at that first quarter minus 0.5 at plus 125.
Yeah, I really like that call. They are notoriously hot starters, and they're – great in the third or fourth quarter as well, like what one of the best like ever as far as efficiency in one of those second half quarters, but yeah, first quarter especially, I think that is an interesting call, especially at the plus money.
Let's talk Super Bowl MVP real quickly here. Obviously Hurts and Mahomes favorites by a mile, that makes sense, but we've also seen plenty of Super Bowls over the years. You know, it feels like what, one out of every three or so, you get like your Deion Branch or your Dexter Jackson or Von Miller was a Super Bowl MVP, I believe. So it certainly happens. And look, I'm on the Eagles to win this game. And if I believe that, I think Jalen Hurts makes sense. He's at plus 110, a slight favorite over Mahomes at 125. But if we're talking about Hurts potentially being compromised, potentially, you know, handing it off on plays where he would normally plow it in, if it's not going to be Jalen Hurts for the Eagles, who are some of the other candidates that make sense to you?
I might look at the defense a little bit, especially if this game goes under. Someone that can get a couple of sacks, I think, would be particularly interesting. Hassan Reddick seems to be just playing at a totally different level right now. And I think that there's a good chance that, you know, his counting stats stack up a little bit more than like a Chris Jones. Chris Jones obviously had the huge game last week, but I think there's a good chance that Reddick, if he affects the game in a couple of ways, forces a turnover, gets more than one sack, and the Eagles end up winning, that then Reddick ends up being, you know, a major factor in this one. So if I'm looking at the defensive side of the ball, especially on the Eagles, that definitely checks out to me. And then I'd be interested in Dallas Goedert as well. I don't feel like we've seen his huge postseason breakout just yet. Well, but you know, I think that there's a chance that he could exploit the Chiefs secondary at the safety position.
So in the last 9 Super Bowls, 4 Super Bowl MVPs have been non-quarterbacks. So like 45% of the time, at least, you know, in the last decade, you're seeing a non-quarterback. So there is real value here. I mean, obviously I would love to bet, I would hope that BetMGM would maybe offer this. Like you can bet on the position, but I would love for it to be like Hurts and Mahomes or the field to see where that number would come in. But you could bet on any wide receiver to be the Super Bowl MVP at 7-1, any tight end at 10-1, running back or fullback at 14-1, defensive lineman 30-1, cornerback 80-1, safety 80-1, offensive lineman at 100-1 as an offensive lineman. Like imagine the game you would have to have as an old lineman to win Super Bowl MVP. I don't even know what the blueprint for that is, but I mean, we saw it with a receiver last year in Cooper Kupp. We saw it a few years ago with Julian Edelman in that low scoring Pats Rams Super Bowl. We mentioned Von Miller, and then, you know, the Seattle romp over Denver, that was Malcolm Smith, a defensive back. So, you know, there is value to be had here. Like Devontae Smith is one guy to me that I kind of like. He's at 25-1. And it's hard to lay out like an airtight case for why anything is going to hit at 25-1, but there's something about Devontae Smith in big games, right? I mean, this dude won the Heisman as a receiver. We saw him go off in the national title game. Like, I don't know. I will be surprised if he doesn't step up, and he's going to have a huge game, you know, to actually win Super Bowl MVP, but I could see him working his way into the mix.
Yeah, I unfortunately am very familiar with Devontae yes. Smith's abilities in championship type of settings. Also familiar with Jalen Hurts's, which was pretty bad back in the 2018 national championship game, and that birthed the Tua game in second 26, which obviously Devontae Smith cut. But no, Devontae Smith, as far as like long shots go, like 25-1. Yeah, that's solid. He's obviously, he runs his routes deep down the field. They're looking for it. That's obviously a part of this Eagles offense that's clicking right now. Whether he's actually catching the ball or not, I would imagine that Andy Reid would ask to take a second look at that one, unlike Kyle Shanahan. But no, I do like that one. And AJ Brown seems to, maybe this is the spot that he really comes alive. But Smith, I'm not saying he's playing better than Brown right now, but he's performing a little bit better. So I do like that call.
I think if Kansas City wins, it has to be Mahomes. And I know that's oversimplifying it, because in those games that I mentioned where non-quarterbacks won, that meant that Russell Wilson, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Matthew Stafford didn't win. So it's not like we're talking teams that just have like, you know, nobody's at quarterback. So, you know, there is precedent for, you know, superstar quarterbacks not winning it, but it just feels like it would have to be Mahomes. I mean, I think you would kind of get the carryover narrative from, you know, the ankle game last week against the Bengals. And the only way I guess I could see that not happening would be a monster performance by someone like Chris Jones or one of those like Travis Kelce 4 touchdown games.
Yeah. You know, Kelce would be obviously like the second pick among these Chiefs guys. And if he kind of helps fuel the victory and like, you know, the touchdown count is concentrated in his favor where he's catching multiple scores, then it's going to be, you know, similar to Kupp where Stafford maybe played a what might win you a Super Bowl MVP in other years. The fact that the Cup just had such a strong performance, it ends up being the overall tiebreaker. But yeah, it's going to be hard for anyone other than Mahomes to get it for KC.
So as we speak, I'm scrolling down, and I hope that BetMGM is listening. I think it's also possible that I just didn't scroll far enough and didn't see that, but they do have the quarterback versus the field bet. So you could bet on a quarterback to win Super Bowl MVP at minus 650, any other position at 4-1. That's right on the borderline for me. I mean, 4-1 is not bad, but I feel like I'd rather take a stab on, you know, maybe a couple of these long shots, throw a little money out there on like Devontae Smith and Travis Kelce, and then, you know, maybe pick a defensive player and kind of play your odds there.
Yeah, Haason Reddick checking in as I believe the top defensive player as far as the odds go, plus 3,000. So I wasn't completely insane with what I was saying just a few minutes ago. Chris Jones, but by comparison, plus 5,000. So yeah, 4-1, not quite enough for me to steer me in that direction.
Travis Kelce to have two or more touchdowns, by the way, is only plus 310. That is a crazy low number,
right?
for that type of output.
Yeah, that I can't. No, I'm gonna need four or five to one minimum before I start thinking about that. But yeah, three, not doing it.
I want to take a second and look at the 2024 Super Bowl odds, which are fun to discuss. Like I'm a big futures guy. I love just kind of diving in on things like this as soon as they're released. Not surprisingly, the Chiefs are the favorites right now, plus 550. The Eagles are 8-1. The 49ers, 7-1. Cincinnati, 9-1. I'll tell you right now, I love both Philly and Cincy at those numbers. And, you know, you're kind of playing with fire here when we're talking about an event that's over a year away. But I think there is some value there. It's more fun, though, to talk about teams that are 20-1 or beyond. Like, is there anybody in that kind of mid-tier group that if you're going to put down a little coin, you know, you'd feel comfortable with?
Yes. So like you said, Bengals, Eagles, definitely like those numbers. I'm surprised that the Eagles are where they are relative to like the Niners and the Bills. I think we mentioned this on the XM show on Tuesday, that's the fade of all fades for, you know, as far as the second highest odds are concerned. I'm not there with the Jets or the Eagles. I think that them going into their first real playoff run under this particular regime or nucleus, asking them to finish the drill and go all the way, I can't quite get there. I need someone with a little bit more playoff experience. The Chargers, obviously their foray into the postseason was a abject disaster, but they have gotten rid of Lombardi. I think that Staley is going to start to figure things out a little bit more, be a little bit less beholden to just what the chat PNG or whatever the AI thing is now, telling him what to do. I think that he's going to get a better, you know, feel for, you know, what's actually going on the field and, you know, react accordingly. So I think his decisions are going to start to get better here moving forward. And you have Justin Herbert, if they add a speed element over the top in that receiving core, open things up. Obviously everyone's going to remember Kellen Moore for his last play with the Cowboys. I mean, that's right up there with that Indianapolis play for against the Patriots a few years ago. But I feel like the Chargers really are there, and I feel like, you know, that's a real time is a flat circle type of take, because they always seem to have a roster that's about ready to go all the way, and they never seem to figure it out. They always play weird games during the regular season and you know, sometimes cost themselves in the postseason or even a postseason berth. But I do like the Chargers at 22-1. And then if Lamar Jackson's back and they make a splash in free agency, especially at the receiver spot, 30-1 on the Ravens is something I'd be very, very interested in. And I think the Dolphins are kind of in a similar discussion. We obviously, you know, you got to be concerned about Tua's ability to stay healthy for the entirety of the season. But if the offensive line gets better around him, maybe they add a little bit more juice at running back. That's a defense, or that's a team that is very strong. I think it has the goods. I think it has the goods to win the East next year, set up a home playoff game, all that good stuff. And they're going to get Vic Fangio as well. So that the defense should be a little bit tightened up as well.
Yeah. You hit on pretty much all the teams that I would mention. I don't love the Broncos. I'm not ready to buy back in on them. They're at 30-1 as well. You know, the Packers at 30-1, like if by some miracle Aaron Rodgers is back, that becomes a little interesting. Like they would not open at 30-1 when it gets closer to September. I can assure you of that. So, you know, if you're of the belief that somehow Rodgers comes back, there could be some value there, but you're doing a little bit of wish casting. You know, Jags, shocking to see them at 30-1. I don't think they're winning the Super Bowl. I think the AFC is just a little too tough, but I think pound for pound, the Ravens are the best value. I think they're undervalued here. It sounds like Lamar's going to be back. If he stays healthy, this is a completely different team. And like you said, they have some room to make additions. The defense should be just as good next season. So I think you hit on the right teams there. By the way, the Vikings 50-1, pretty hilarious how everybody's back. Like, I mean, they'll lose the pieces obviously, but man, I mean, just not even a consideration.
Yeah. That goes to show you, that, you know, how sticky, this season was. And the answer is, not very. What are your thoughts on the Cleveland Browns with a full season of Deshaun Watson?
No, I'm off Watson. Look, if we look back and I'll rue the day that I didn't bet the Browns to win the Super Bowl at 45-1. Like that's something I can live with. I mean, you know, chances are he'll look better next year than he did this year, but I don't know. It's the AFC. It's like, there's just too many good teams. Like, what are the chances that the Browns, you know, not only navigate through their own division and make the playoffs, but are then better than the Chiefs, the Bills, the Bengals, the Chargers, the Jets, the Jaguars, the Ravens. I mean, like, I just don't see it happening.
Fair enough. But at 45-1, maybe crazy enough to work. But yeah, like you said, that there are better ways to light a couple bucks on fire, I suppose.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, let's I guess we technically did both miss our best bets last week. I wasn't really thinking about that, but we did a double lock on the Bengals. I felt good about it, man. I really did. When they converted that 3rd and 16. I mm-hmm. thought we were going to go see the game-winning drive. That was going to be it. The Bengals were going to get out of there. They're going to beat the Chiefs for the fourth time in a row and be on their way to the Super Bowl. And, you know, we know what happened from there. But because of that, I think we got to trade off delivering this message from BetMGM.
Yeah, let's split it up and let's go ahead and kick off Super Bowl weekend with the king of sportsbooks. Sign up with BetMGM using bonus code BETROTO, that's BETROTO, and receive up to $1,000 in bonus bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, Mississippi, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, Tennessee, Virginia, Washington, D.C., West Virginia, Wyoming, or Ontario only. Must be 21 years or older to wager. 19 or older in Ontario. This is a new customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards are issued as non-withdrawable bet credits. Credits expire 7 days from issuance. And of course, this excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona, 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, DC, Kansas, Louisiana, Nevada, Wyoming, or Virginia, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, 1-800-GAMBLER in Indiana, Maryland, New Jersey, or West Virginia, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York. Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789 in Tennessee or call 1-888-777-9696 in Mississippi.
In Ontario, if you have questions or concerns about your gambling or the gambling of someone close to you, please contact Connects Ontario at 1-866-531-2600 to speak to an advisor free of charge. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Promotional offers not available in Nevada and New York. All right. Anything else Super Bowl NFL betting related that you want to get off your chest here?
I think we gotta save the best for next week, but I feel like we've laid down a good base coat for our listeners as far as what to expect next week, and very much looking forward to the gambling cage match with the bookies guys. And yeah, I mean, again, as it stands, let the record show, as of February 2nd, I am on the Eagles to win and cover right now, and we'll have the props a little bit more tightened up this time next week. But again, that's where I'm at right now.
Okay. And you know, I'm with you. We have the right to change that pick this time next week if we need to, but again, keep an eye out. We'll be doing a more in-depth dive at a lot of these props around this time next week. On Thursday of next week, we'll also be doing that betting cage match slash ladder match, first ever ladder match via podcast, I think in world history, as far as I'm concerned, but very much looking forward to doing that with the bookies guys. We got the NBA trade deadline next week as well, so we'll be having an NBA podcast coming your way. We'll be talking a lot more about this on the RotoWire Sirius XM show, so make sure you listen to that coming at you 7 to 9 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday. John, we'll have you on there next week. I know you'll be doing a lot of research over the weekend, over these next couple of days, into basically every betting angle possible for the Super Bowl. So keep an eye out for all of our content over at RotoWire. We'll be pumping out a ton on the site, on social media, via podcast. Make sure you subscribe. And of course, if you're doing any betting on the Super Bowl, if you want to lay down bets now, if you want to wait till next week, that's fine. But make sure you're doing it over at BetMGM and use that promo code BETROTO, BETROTO. You could receive up to $1,000 in bonus bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. For John McKechnie, I'm Nick Whalen. We are out. We will talk again next week.